WLRFM News. This is Waterford at 1.
Good afternoon, I'm Liz Reddy. Today's top stories: Education Minister hopes to get Technological Institute for the South East back on track.
The only way to become a technological university is to do it through the process, which does involve merger.
Extensive damages caused to a childcare facility in Waterford City.
We have a climbing frame there where the kids climb up and down on it, and it was actually ripped out of the ground.
And in sport, Waterford face Kilkenny in All-Ireland semi-final.
I know we're in an All-Ireland semi-final, but by God, are we in for one hell of a battle in 2 weeks' time.
The Kelly Report, which was commissioned by the Minister for Education, says both WIT and IT Carlow are committed to the development of a technological university for the South East. A merger between the two was initiated in 2011, but a breakdown in relations culminated in Waterford IT exiting the negotiations last October. The report says the position taken by Waterford IT did not allow roundtable engagements with IT Carlow, and it wasn't possible to produce data and a shared vision statement from both institutes. He says there's an erosion of trust between the two, and both now need to work on a framework where mutual respect can be rebuilt. Minister Jan O'Sullivan told WLRFM News that a merger between the two is the only option to ensure TU status for the South East.
The two institutes have to put to their governing body the proposal to move forward with the process and to go into a process of facilitation. So their meeting, I understand, towards the end of August. In the meantime, in my department, we will be preparing for that facilitation to be ready when they make their decisions in August.
The minister met with the chairs and presidents of both institutes last week.
And I certainly felt that there was a strong feeling now that they do want to move ahead, and that they see this as a very big prize for the South East, as something that people in the South East have for a very long time rightly been looking for, and that the way forward is to engage in this process now. The only way to become a technological university is to do it through the process, which does involve merger, which does involve bringing the two institutes to a point where they will satisfy international criteria to become a technological university.
President of Waterford IT, Willie Donnelly, has defended their decision not to hold roundtable discussions with IT Carlow.
It was really time just to take stock and to reflect on where we are. So at that stage, we felt that we probably wasn't a good idea to get people around the table. It was just to get Mr. Kelly to talk to all the stakeholders and come to his own conclusion.
Willie Donnelly says the report highlighted the erosion of trust between both institutes.
I think in any situation where two organisations come together to discuss a possible merger, it creates tensions in its own right. So, as I always said, there is no tradition of collaboration between both institutes. So, during the process, I don't want to go back over history, but everybody knows that we got to a stage where it was no longer able to collaborate with each other or continue the discussion. So the report definitely identifies trust and the building of trust as something important for going forward.
Author of the report, Michael Kelly, says the process should be given some time to develop.
I think it will actually bring a lot of energy from within the two institutes once people get really working on that. Now, it will need to be supported in a number of ways, and I've suggested both a framework within which the work might be carried forward, but also various ways in which that might be supported. I think so long as all of that is done, the main challenges here are going to be about leadership and the will to do it.
Staff and management of a childcare facility in Waterford City say recent acts of vandalism are causing local children to suffer. The state-of-the-art centre at Manor St John has been broken into twice in the past month, with extensive damage done to the offices and the outdoor play area. WLRFM's Mary O'Neill paid a visit to the centre and met the staff.
The childcare centre in Manor St John houses up to 90 children, mostly from the local area. The facility cost €1.3 million to build and came about thanks to European funding in the form of the EOCP grant. Board member Mary Byrne says they keep no money on site, so there was absolutely nothing to be gained from these two recent break-ins.
We've had a number of break-ins where the offices have been broken into, windows have been broken, cupboards and presses torn apart, people looking for money, and we just don't keep money here. We get a lot of our funding through national bodies, go straight into our account. Parents pay by direct debit. Any money that does come in cash is lodged immediately. And some of it is just what you'd have to say is mindless vandalism.
She says these break-ins are affecting insurance policies too.
Well, we have insurance, but obviously this impacts on our insurance payments over the years. Because it is a not-for-profit organisation, our margins are really tight, and therefore anything that we have to pay over and above what our normal outgoings would be impacts, and we want to ensure that we keep giving the quality that we always give and the safety of the children who come here.
Leanne Stokes is a childcare worker at the centre. She told me it's hard for staff and children when something like this happens.
Well, it's very upsetting when the children come into school and, you know, there's guards here, or they have to come in through the main entrance and they have to see the disruption from who came into the building. The same with the outside play area, they couldn't use it for a few days till it was fixed. So, you know, it is kind of disheartening, especially when it's a community place.
And like Mary was saying, the children are all from the locality.
Yes, they're all from here. They're all community children in the community centre, so we really don't know where else to go from here, you know, only to ask whoever's doing it to stop.
Administrator Tina Gleeson says parents are worried about the situation.
They're gutted for their children and for us, like, because it's stressful enough coming in and seeing your office wrecked, and then you kind of have to deal with the parents and the children and make sure that they're okay about it as well, like, you know, so it's not easy.
Obviously you're liaising with the Gardaí, you know, the whole time about this issue.
Yeah, the Gardaí were here and they took our statements, so we're just waiting on feedback now. If anybody knows anything, just contact the Gardaí and let them know, and hopefully we might try and sort it out soon.
Mayor of Waterford City and County John Cummins says the Manor St John complex has a number of community facilities and the council is doing its best to keep security tight.
Well, you have the St Paul's GAA, the soccer club, boxing club, and you have this fantastic childcare facility. You know, it is state of the art. We've been constantly, I suppose, reviewing the security arrangements. We have put in some additional measures with regards to palisade fencing, but unfortunately, if such people want to get in, they are going to get in, and that's very difficult to combat.
Investigations are continuing into a light aircraft crash in County Waterford in which a man died. 67-year-old Howard Cox was killed when his single-seater James Bond-style BD5 went down between Dungarvan and Stradbally on Saturday evening. The Air Accident Investigations Unit sent a team of four people to examine the wreckage, which was spread over an area at Garanbain. Mr. Howard had left Waterford Airport for Shannon to attend the Foynes Air Show. Just 3 weeks ago, he took part in an air show in Tremor in County Waterford and spoke to WLRFM's Jeff Harris about his unusual plane.
It's called a BD5, home built, so it came as a box of pieces.
Oh, you built it yourself?
I built it myself. Then the company that supplied it went bankrupt many years ago, so I had to finish it, sort of finding parts myself. And it's unusual, and it's got a rotary engine in, made by a company that was in England called Midwest Engines.
Up to 10 vans and trucks belonging to Waterford City and County Council were damaged during a break-in to their Carrick Fairish depot over the weekend. Diesel was siphoned from all the vehicles, some of which were out of use because of the damage caused. A spokesperson for the council says the depot has been broken into on a number of occasions this year. Gardaí are currently examining CCTV footage as part of their investigations into the incident. Teva Pharmaceutical Industries has agreed to buy Allergan generic drugs business for $40.5 billion in a deal that will turn Teva into one of the top 10 pharmaceutical companies. The Israeli company employs hundreds of people at its facility in Waterford City, manufacturing and developing inhalers. The acquisition should help Teva, already the world's largest generic drug maker, boost growth. US company Allergan has its headquarters in County Mayo.
WLRFM Sport with John Kelly Opal, supporting our Waterford GAA players this summer. JohnKellyOpal.com.
Waterford will face Kilkenny in 2 weeks' time in the All-Ireland Hurling semi-final after a 221-119 win over Dublin yesterday in Thurles. Maurice Shanahan says that game will be a huge challenge, but he was delighted his side learned their lessons from the Munster final defeat.
We missed easy points against Tip, and today we kept going, you know, we kept shooting. Like Derek told us, keep shooting. Doesn't matter if you miss one or two. And we had the players like Michael Welch, Kevin Moore, Jamie Byrne, Shane Binner. Our backs are being outstanding all year, and we just keep going. Kilkenny are going to come up with a plan, I suppose. They're looking to come up with a different plan again, and we just have to buy into that. And it's all about work rate, anyway. You have to work, and working is the main thing, you know.
Chris Froome has pledged to honour the Tour de France yellow jersey after claiming a second title in Paris. The 30-year-old Team Sky leader made a veiled reference to the critics of his performance over a turbulent 3 weeks. He was called a doper, had urine thrown at him and was spat on numerous times. The cyclist told Sky Sports News that his sport has turned a corner.
I feel as if I'm in a very privileged position now to be able to speak out about the current level of the sport and where we're at in that regard. And just to reassure people that this isn't going to be a rerun of the likes of some of the guys we've seen before us.
The Galway races begin this evening. The first is off at Ballybrit at 5:15. Updates are available on WLRFM.com. Our next bulletin is at 2.
WLRFM News. This is Waterford at 1.
Good afternoon, I'm Liz Reddy. Today's top stories.
Before the ban came into place, we had 24 people employed. We have 9 staff laid off.
Job losses at Waterford Gift Store after CIE Tours banned coach drivers using it. A playground in Waterford City has had to be closed out after part of it was set alight.
Endless what's going on around the town. Why are they targeting all the kids' playgrounds? I mean, what do they get from doing this? Like, I just don't know.
Gardaí investigating the disappearance of a teenager almost 20 years ago have begun a fresh search in Dundalk. And in sport, Tramore hosting Irish Close Championship this week. The owner of a gift shop in Waterford City says he's had to let a number of employees go after CIE Tours instructed coach drivers not to use his premises. Paul Kennedy is the owner of Hibernian Gifts in Bolton Street. Despite there being a coach parking bay in Bolton Street car park, an email from CIE Tours, which was sent to media in Waterford by a whistleblower, tells drivers that passengers should be dropped off at the front of House of Waterford Crystal. They are told the coaches to remain outside where passengers should be collected. Drivers are also told not to visit or lunch at Hibernian Gifts, and if there is any violation, CIE Tours will no longer use their services. Paul Kennedy says they're at a loss to know why this has happened.
Hibernian Gifts is a Waterford-owned gift store on Bank Lane, Bolton Street in the city. We opened our business in 2011 beside the House of Waterford Crystal and adjacent to the coach park in Bolton Street, which we thought would be the perfect place to get the business on the footfall from people coming and going from the car park and the coach park. Groups from CIE Tours regularly stopped at our store and cafe as part of their time in Waterford. We extended the cafe in 2013 to facilitate large groups, in particular for lunches, and CIE would be one of the groups that we would have facilitated for lunch on many, many occasions.
He says he's had no choice but to let employees go. He says his shop sells all types of gifts, but is totally different to Waterford Crystal.
Well, before the ban came into place, we had 24 people employed on a full-time and part-time basis. We have 9 staff laid off. Our Crystal area is small in comparison to the size of Waterford Crystal and the strength of the brand of Waterford. I worked for Waterford for many years, and we never had an issue with, say, Joseph Knox in the city, Shaw's in the city. We do support all the other local crystals because they're small local businesses, and we try and support as many local businesses as we can.
Paul's wife Mary says it's a very frustrating situation.
It seems to have been a battle since we opened. It's difficult enough to be in business, but to have more of this on top of it, and now the CIE ban, and we just don't understand why it has happened. We've never had a complaint from any tourist. They're all very happy with their lunches and their visit to Hibernian Gifts, very complimentary of our store. So it's frustrating and upsetting for all of our staff as well. They're all very worried about their jobs.
The playground at Farnshunin has had to close this morning following an act of vandalism. 2 units of the fire brigade were called to the scene early this morning after the main wooden structure was set alight. Damage has been done to a central beam, which renders it unsafe for children to use the facility. It's thought it will cost thousands of euro to fix, and the playground is expected to remain cordoned off for a number of weeks. Council workers are currently at the scene, and the rest of the park at Farnshunin remains open to the public. Karen, a local woman from the city, spoke to WLRFM News a short time ago.
I have 2 of my own, but I mind 2 as well. Would the Farnshunin playground be a place you frequent?
Yes, often, because it's handy for parking, handy for everything. And with the Tesco's across the road, it's ideal. It's a shame what's after happening.
So when did you discover this?
Just 2 minutes ago, just after coming out with the kids, and they can't go in. I didn't even see it myself, and I was just walking over. I only got to halfway when I was stopped to be told. But it's terrible. scandalous what's going on around the town. Why are they targeting all the kids' playgrounds? I mean, what do they get from doing this? Like, I just don't know.
Niall, who's from Waterford, moved abroad a number of years ago, but it was visiting the area this morning.
We live in London now, and we're just here for a couple of weeks. Well, it's all cordoned off, and there's workmen there, and then they said that it's going to be closed for the foreseeable future. I suppose it's maybe the kids or the teenagers or whoever's responsible don't have much else to do, or they don't have an outlet, maybe. I'm not sure exactly the reasons or who did it, but it is very sad.
Claire Hartley's the communications officer with Waterford City and County Council.
The park has been closed as a result of the fire damage. It's fenced and made safe at the moment. Unfortunately, we have had to close the playground, and it will be closed for a couple of days at least to assess the damage. Waterford Council are quite disappointed that we'll again have to spend money on replacing equipment rather than, I suppose, spending that money towards the development and the further development of our parks.
She says this isn't the first incident of its kind in Waterford in recent months.
We have had previous damage in the People's Park earlier this summer as well, yes. And I suppose we would appeal to the public to support us in our work to continue to develop the parks and open spaces that we have in Waterford City and County. And we don't wish to continue to spend money in repairing and replacing units that have been damaged through vandalism.
Police in Thailand say a man who was seen on CCTV carrying a backpack just before a blast went off in Bangkok is the bomber. 22 people were killed in the attack during yesterday's rush hour, including a number of tourists. Another explosive was thrown into a canal in the city this morning, but no one was hurt. Stephen Power from Tremor has been teaching in Bangkok for the past 4 years and lives four train stops away from where the blast happened. Speaking to WLRFM News, he said the bomb exploded in an area frequented by tourists.
They would definitely be there. As I said, there's lots of restaurants, lots of shopping malls. You know, it really is a tourist area, that area, you know.
Student Universal Support Ireland shows that 57.4% of CAO applicants in Waterford last year got a means-tested student grant. The highest figure, 71.5%, was in Longford, and the lowest was 45.6% in Dublin. Susie's planning to conduct research into the breakdown of awards after it has finished processing this year's applications. There is previous research showing that PAYE workers have more difficulty in obtaining student grants for their children compared to farmers and the self-employed. Graeme Doyle, communications officer for Susie, says it's likely that generally higher incomes in Dublin are to blame for the disparity.
We don't have analysis done on this ourselves because we're only starting analysis from this year, but we would expect that when we do the means testing in Dublin, that it would be generally higher. Now there are, and we do see it ourselves, there are particular areas within Dublin where, say, unemployment would be higher and income within households is lower, and therefore there would be a higher success rate within those areas within Dublin.
A man who went missing in County Tipperary was located safe yesterday evening after a multi-agency search operation. The man who was camping in the Aherlow area went missing early yesterday morning. Jimmy Barry's from the South Eastern Mountain Rescue. Their new base in Clonmel's being officially opened on Saturday. He says calls like yesterday are quite common.
He was taken to hospital and looked after and the whole lot, and he's fine. Just medical problem and that. And we come up with that all the time, and we work with the other agencies all the time. Waterford will be well aware of Rescue 117. Rescue 117 was in the land of Aherlow yesterday evening helping us. We work with civil defence, and all the statutory bodies were there yesterday evening, the Gardaí and the HSE as well.
Sports news on WLRFM.
The Irish Amateur Close Championship is underway at Tremor Golf Club, with round one of the stroke play qualifying well in progress. Reporting from the course is Ray Scott.
Glorious conditions here at Tremor has resulted in a large attendance who are being treated to some superb golf, and local interest is being satisfied by a number of fine performances. None more so than Robin Dawson, fresh from his home international victory at Royal Portrush and then a Leinster Senior Cup victory with Maynooth on Sunday. The Faith Leg man has had little recovery time, but he's showing no signs of fatigue in this opening round. A superb eagle on the ninth saw him through the turn and two under. He's added to that with another birdie, and he's now 3 under after 11. And he leads by one from Alex Gleeson of Castle Golf Club in Dublin and Owen Arthurs of Forest Little. Tremor player Rory Keary is level through the turn, while triple champion Eddie Power is also level par. David Redden of Nina and Colm Crowley of Woodbrook are the clubhouse leaders on level par, while Shane Lowry's brother Alan is 1 over after 73. Former Daisha hurler Paul Flynn is 2 over after 74, the same score as Dungarvan's Alan Thomas, while his clubmate John Reynolds is 3 over and Waterford's Anthony Fex 4 over par. For WLRFM Sport, at Tramore Golf Club, I'm Ray Scott.
Gary Hurley will begin the second day of the US Amateur Championship in Chicago, 7 shots off the lead. The West Waterford clubman is on 2 over, tied with Hourglass man Cormac Sharvin. Meanwhile, fellow Irishman Paul Dunn, who led the Open Championship last month, begins the day from 1 over par after yesterday's 71. Martin O'Neill this afternoon names his provisional squad for next month's Euro 2016 qualifiers with Gibraltar and Georgia. There aren't expected to be any major surprises, but O'Neill may face renewed questioning over Stephen Ireland. The midfielder started the season well with Stoke, prompting some talk of an international return. After a year's absence, Manchester United are just 180 minutes away from a return to the Champions League group stages. They play host to Club Brugge this evening in the first leg of their playoff round tie. Updates are available on WLORFM.com. Our next bulletin is at 2.